John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Back in 2013, we went on a family holiday to Alaska, where we hired a big RV and drove all around the state. And one of the highlights we were looking forward to, which was towards the end of our trip, was going to see Denali, which is this huge mountain, the tallest in North America. So we got to the national park the day before and camped in this beautiful campsite. We were really looking forward to making the trip up to, it's a long way in, so you have to catch a bus, an old American school bus, to get to the best lookout to then be able to see the mountain. Well, we woke up that morning and it was cold and wet and overcast, but we still were keen to go. We were there, we were going to go and see it. So we jumped on the bus and it was cool being one of those American school buses. But because it was raining and it was a dirt road, the mud covered the windows really quickly. And every time we stopped, we had to get out and squeegee off to try and see the view. And we went and it was 100 kilometres of dirt road in this rattly old bus. It took forever, hours and hours, but we were really keen. And then we got to this lookout and we were in cloud. It was like that. It was wet. It was horrible. There was no... Denali was there, but we just couldn't see it. So we walked around for a little bit, got even wetter, and then the bus took us back home, so crawling all the way down another 100 kilometres. We got dropped off at the campsite where I was staying, and as we got off, a few others went off, were sort of bedraggled by then, and the bus driver yelled out and said, "Oh, I've got to keep track of who's getting on and who's getting off. Can you tell me how many got off?" So I did a quick look around. I said, "8. He said, "What?" I said, "8. And he said, "How many?" I said, "8. And everyone on the bus started laughing because no one could understand what I was saying. They couldn't understand my accent. And I don't have an accent. How do you say eight? That's it, 8. That's all I've got, 8. And so they were laughing. The bus driver's getting frustrated. I'm saying 8. And, they're Americans. So I was going to say it nice and loud and nice and clear. 8. And it was just nothing. So what am I going to do? So I'm going, "Well, 8. And they went, "Oh, 8. Why didn't you say it?" And they were saying, I could understand 8 from them. There wasn't any different to me. But it was really frustrating. Maybe you've had that experience too, where you've tried to say something to someone and it's just not getting through. Sometimes as kids, we have these really great stories that we want to tell our parents or our family, and we're going and we're telling them, a bit like the video, we're sort of telling the story and the adults are going, "I don't know what you're talking about." It's really, really frustrating. Well, sometimes when we are as adults, we have a conversation with a friend or someone that, we really need to have this conversation. We need to tell them some truth. something they really need to hear and they just don't want to hear it. It's really hard. In John chapter 1, John speaks about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's like a really beautiful, lyrical start to his gospel. And yet we quickly picked up a fairly jarring note in it too when he said about this Word, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. That Word, like my eight, was just met by puzzled looks and blank stares and embarrassment. We had no idea what this Word's saying. One of the things that John's saying in that introduction to his gospel is that this Word's entry into the world is the event that all creation has been on the edge of its seat for. And yet when it does happen, everyone, including the people specially prepared for it, aren't ready. The Word comes into the world and people are sort of looking at each other, just having no idea, shrugging their shoulders, not sure what this means. Now, who is this Word? It's Jesus, God's beloved Son. And so when we think of the first Christmas, we rightly think of peace and joy and comfort and goodwill and the angels and the shepherds. But John is also acknowledging that the arrival of Jesus in the world is also about incomprehension and rejection and darkness and denial. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And even in that first Christmas, there's that dark shadow of that, the escape to Egypt, Herod's massacre of the children. For each shepherd and wise man who came and brought their worship, there are kings and common people who are rejecting him. But what does that all mean for us today? Well, I think, first of all, it's really good for us to get a grip on what John means by Jesus being the Word. How do we reveal our true selves to someone? How do we express ourselves? Well, it is really primarily through our words. You might see a friend one day and their brow is furrowed and they seem distracted and they're caught up in their thoughts, and you have to ask, well, what's the matter? Because we won't know until they tell us. Sometimes a child races in the door from school or the backyard and they're bouncing around the room and they're beaming from ear to ear and they're talking a mile a minute and they're so excited. You have to say, well, just you need to sort of stop for a second and tell me what's so exciting. A couple might be married for years and years and yet they still have to ask each other, well, what are you thinking? In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And that's true of God as well. How do we know what God is thinking? How do we know what God is like? We sort of get hints in creation, but unless he talks to us, we're not going to understand. We're not going to get it. God says himself in Isaiah, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. If God has created everything, he is so much bigger than us, we just can't get our heads around him unless he shares with us. The amazing thing is, God has done that. All through the Old Testament, we read the word of the Lord comes to the prophets to make not only just what God wants of his people, but he shares what his heart is as well. And then Jesus is the Word who reveals God to us. He makes God known. So just as our words express us, Jesus, the Word, expresses God. Verse 18, later on in that introduction, says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, has made him known. Later on in Jesus' life, right up before his death at the Last Supper, Philip, one of Jesus' closest friends, been with him for years, says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. Reveal God to us, and that'll be enough. Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now that is a very bold claim, but Jesus backs it up. If we have seen Jesus, if we've listened to Jesus, if we've observed Jesus, we know what God is like. So when we read the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus' life, we're meant to be asking ourselves, what's this teaching me about God? What do I know about God through this? How do I know what God is like? I look at Jesus. I listen to Jesus. I watch him in action, and I will know what God is like. And what do we get? We get water turned to wine. We get compassion shown to the helpless, truth and love being spoken, healing the sick, controlling the forces of nature, exercising complete authority over everything that attacks us, and then dying on the cross and rising again for our salvation. God coming near to us in Jesus, Jesus speaking and showing what God is like, it's love overflowing. Anyone who has seen Jesus, he says, has seen the Father. So what do we do with that? That's amazing news. Now, one of the angels said this is good news of great joy for all people. But John says, well, he came into the world that he made, and even the world didn't recognize him. So we sing, and we're about to sing, joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. But John says, history says, many people say, no, I won't do that. God had planned in the eternity before creation exactly what humanity needed. He's prepared people for thousands of years to get ready to receive that great gift, the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus, our Saviour. Our greatest need, our greatest problem was our alienation from God, our shattered relationship with him. And so Jesus comes to restore that relationship, to bring us back to God, to reconcile us. And yet for the most part, humanity has said, well, no, thanks. It becomes a far more tragic exchange at the bus. So it's like Jesus is here right with us and he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And we're on the bus sort of looking blank, uncomprehending stares. What is he saying? And someone sort of chirps up from the back, I think he's saying that he's a great teacher. Jesus is out there saying, I am the light of the world. And we think, oh, is he saying that he's a prophet or like a great historical figure? He's out there saying, come and find rest for your souls. And people on the bus are saying, ah, he's just a fairy story. He's out there saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. And people are saying, oh, he's just a cute baby in the manger, and that's where we want him to stay. And yet Jesus answers all our questions about God. He answers all the deep questions of our heart. He is drawn near to us, close enough to speak to us. And his message, which is he himself, is full of grace and truth, John says. Mercy and welcome, forgiveness and reconciliation, joy and hope, and eternal, overwhelming love. So he's spoken to us. We listen. Do we accept him for who he is? Because John says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We are adopted into his family. We belong to God forever. Today, we give and receive gifts. God has given his greatest gift in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has shown the way to how we are reconciled to God and enjoy him forever. Well, today is the day to receive that gift. One of the hymns is, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. Do our Auslan earlier. Let's see if we can do that again. Ready? Jesus brings peace with God. That's what we remember today. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that we have received and heard this good news of the Lord Jesus' birth. And we thank you that in Jesus we see you. And you're not like what often our imaginations are of you. You're not distant, you're not angry, you're not disinterested, but instead you've drawn near to us, you've come close to us, you've shown us your character. And we thank you for that, because otherwise we would only be still guessing. And we thank you that we can trust the Lord Jesus, that that claim that if we've seen him, we've seen you, we see that true when we read the Gospels. So we thank you that this morning we have that opportunity again, or perhaps even for the first time, to hear that and to believe that and to receive that. Lord, we pray that as we go home today to be able to enjoy the rest of today together, that that you would continue to speak to us and that we'd continue to listen and respond. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.